like corkscrews past her shoulders. She stood, long and lean in snug leggings, blue with gold snaking up them like flames. A blue top, tank, snug, that showed off long, tanned arms. Blue shoes with flames on the sides. He couldn't see her face. Didn't need to. Not yet. Cobalt flame, he thought. Demi-demon. Caught in Grievous's web, tormented by him. Her battle with his angel would be freaking epic. And in the end, they'd become allies. The storyline just spewed out of him, lava from a volcano. Because that's where she'd become. That's where she'd gained her powers. The inspiration, back still to him, took a step down from the porch. And a mountain of black fur walked from the far corner of the porch to join her. At his feet, Jasper made a sound. Not a growl, not a warning bark, but, if possible, a canine gasp. Then he trembled. As Raylan looked down, started to soothe him, Jasper leaped forward. The lurch had Raylan stumbling forward. Hey! The shout, the onslaught of man and dog, had the woman turning. She tipped down sunglasses, laughed. Raylan? Raylan Wells! Adrian Rizzo, he thought, as he fought to control his dog. Yeah, the face would work. She'd always been a looker.
Adrian, hi, sorry, I don't know what's gotten into him. He doesn't bite.
Jasper flopped down at the base of the porch, then began to crawl up toward the black mountain. Neither does she. Angling her head, Adrian watched Jasper prostrate himself at Sadie's feet. What's he doing?
I don't know.
I think he's proposing.
The other woman stepped out on the porch. She had long braids tied back at her nape, and a boy of about 4 with one arm around her leg and a plastic hammer in his hand. Sadie put one massive paw on Jasper's head, sent Adrian a sidelong glance.
I think she's telling him to get a grip. They haven't even been introduced. This is Sadie.
Jasper, knock it off. You're humiliating yourself.
I'm pretty sure I see stars in his eyes. Welcome home, Raylan.
Thanks. Sorry to interrupt.
You're not. I was out for a quick run and stopped by. This is Tisha Kirk and Phineas Grant. Tisha? Phineas? Raylan Wells.
It's nice to meet you.
Tisha offered him a smile.
I know Maya and Jan are happy you're back.
So are we. I'm actually about to look at the house next door.
Oh, it's a beauty!
Tisha looked over as Phineas sat and began to bang invisible nails. The boy said, emphatically,
I have to get this work done.
I've had a lot of peaks,
Tisha continued. Mark does really good work. You've got a couple of kids, don't you?
Yeah, 7 and 5. Well, nearly 8 and 6.
It'd be great to have kids next door.
Phineas stopped banging. He said,
Gotta poop,
and marched into the house.
Sorry, gotta poop.
Tisha rushed in after him.
Well, since there's that.
Laughing, Adrian came down the steps.
I've gotta get home, but my grandfather would really love to see you, and your kids, and your love-addled dog.
He's never done anything like this, but she's very impressive.
Sexy Sadie. Tisha's right about the house. I've been through it too. It's a good one. And as neighbors go,
she gestured toward Tisha's house where he heard music, a piano, flowing out.
They're the best.
So Maya told me. You look good, Adrian. I mean, it's good to see you.
The same.
She bent down, gave Jasper a stroke before she clipped a leash on the dog mountain.
I'm sure we'll meet again, Jasper. Love can't be denied. Let's go, Sadie.
Sadie simply stepped over the dazzled Jasper, gathered herself, then matched her pace to Adrian's long, ground-eating stride.
Impressive.
He looked back at his now forlorn dog.
She may be too much woman for you, pal, but the heart has its own agenda. Let's go see a house.
Chapter 12. After the house tour, after some very strange high school reminiscing with the former rough customer, after talking to his contractor brother as they and a couple of others finished what they called punch-out work, Raylan needed to think. He made arrangements to come back in an hour or so with his kids, something Mark Wicker approved of. He stopped by Mrs. Pinsky's and used her ancient excuse for a lawnmower to trim her grass. He had to admit the lawn had seemed worlds bigger when he'd been 15, so it didn't take long. Still, he worked up a sweat, gratefully took the tall glass of iced tea she'd sweetened enough to make his teeth sting. She told him he was a good boy, had done a fair job, and again complimented his mother for his good manners. He walked the dog home, let Jasper's lovelorn heart brood in the backyard while he jumped into the car and drove the short distance to Rizzo's. The early lunch crowd spread out at the tables and booths while his mother worked at the stove and Dom tossed dough. He looked thinner, older than when Raylan had seen him briefly over the Christmas holidays, but he hadn't lost his knack in the dough-tossing department. Mariah, with a coloring book and crayons at her counter seat, watched him in absolute delight.
"Do another, Poppy. Do another."
As he spread the dough in a perfect circle on the board, he winked at her.
"I have to get this one going first. People want their pies."
"Will you make me one? Nana said we can have pizza when Bradley finishes his game in the back."
"I'll make you a very special one, just your size and fit for a princess."
She gasped, much as Jasper had at his first sight of Sadie, then spotted her father.
"Daddy, did you hear? Mr. Rizzo's gonna make me a princess pizza."
"Amazing. How are you, Dom?" "Can't complain, so won't. Welcome home." "Thanks. I wonder if you could hold the princess pizza for just a bit. Mo, I want to go get Bradley and take you guys to see this house. We'll do that, then we'll all come back for pizza."
"But I get the special princess pizza."
"Absolutely. I saw your granddaughter for a minute and the mastodon she calls a dog. She mentioned it."
Dom added peppers, mushrooms, black olives to the pie.
"It's a good, solid house with good, solid neighbors. I'm glad you're taking a look."
"What did you think?" Jan demanded.
"What Dom said, but I want the kids to see it. And here comes the gaming machine."
He could see by the look on Bradley's face, the gaming machine hadn't taken top score.
"I need to earn more quarters."
"We'll get to that. We're going to go see this house right now."
"But we're going to have pizza, Nana said."
"We'll come back and have pizza, but the man who owns the house is waiting on us."
"I could starve."
Before Raylan could speak, Dom picked up a handful of pepperoni, a handful of cheese, filled a little takeaway bowl.
"This'll hold you. When you get back, I'll make you a special pizza."
A boy of specifics, Bradley eyed him.
"What kind of special?" "I'm getting a princess one." "Can I have a Batman one?"
"Go with your father, be a good boy, and Batman it will be."
"Cool, thanks, Poppy. Can we go right now so we can get back?"
"Yeah, we're going."
"Don't worry about that."
Jan brushed him aside as Raylan started to deal with the crayons.
"We did all the work,"
Mariah told him when he hauled her up.
"So I got a coloring book, and Bradley got quarters. Poppy said we're good workers."
"Glad to hear it."
He got them out to the car, into the car seats.
"Where's Jasper?"
Bradley devoured pepperoni like candy.
"He's at Nana's. He's already seen the house."
"Are we going to live there?"
Mariah wanted to know.
"We have to look at it."
"I like living at Nana's house."
"Try it sleeping on a pullout," he thought, "and showering in a closet. It's close to Nana's."
"How close?"
He met his son's suspicious eyes in the rear view.
"You'll see. There's Nana's house," he said as they passed it.
He made the left turn off Main, drove on, drove by Mrs. Pinsky's freshly cut lawn, made the right turn on Mountain Laurel Lane, then the left into the driveway.
This close.
It doesn't look anything like our old house.
Bradley's words hit straight to the heart, especially as Raylan had thought exactly the same.
No, it doesn't.
No lovely and faded brick, but horizontal siding freshly painted a smoky gray with the contrast of dark blue shutters and sharp white trim. A quiet street, which mattered, and a short green front yard leading to the wide sidewalk. Sidewalks mattered. He'd watched enough HGTV to know the foundation bushes, the tree Mark had identified as a showy pink dogwood, added curb appeal. The front door had long side lights, and the convenient side door, the one facing the neighbor he'd met, opened into a mudroom slash laundry room. That would matter. It checked all the boxes, he thought, as he unloaded the kids. He knew that. Just as he knew from his own rehabbing experience, the quality of the work inside and out got high marks. But it didn't look anything like their home in Brooklyn. As he studied it with his kids beside him, the neighbor hailed him. She came out, crossed over, her little boy marching behind her.
I have the keys. Mark said they'd nearly finished, so he sent the crew to do another job. He just needed to get them going, pick something up, and he'd be back. But he didn't want you to have to wait if you got here ahead of him.
Thanks. This is Ms. Kirk.
Bradley's eyes widened.
Like Captain James Tiberius?
Exactly like that. I always figured I could be his great times about four grandmother.
Eyes widened even more.
Really?
I like to think so. This is Phineas.
She patted her belly.
This is yet to be determined. If you decide to live here, we'll be your neighbors.
Can I touch the baby?
Tisha looked down at Mariah.
This one? Sure.
Very gently, Mariah laid a hand on the baby bump.
My teacher had a baby in her, too. It was big. She said it was going to come out in the summertime.
This one has to get bigger before he comes out in November.
Phineas, more interested in his own kind, offered Bradley a look at his plastic dinosaur.
This is a T-Rex. They'd have eaten people except they got extinct before people. They ate other dinosaurs, though. He's my favorite.
That's cool. I like velociraptors because they hunt in packs.
I got them, too. They probably evolved from birds. You want to see?
Maybe sometime, but we've got to look at the house.
They bang and saw in there. I've got a hammer and a saw, too.
He will never shut up, Tisha warned them, and reached down for her son's hand.
Say see you later, Finn.
Okay, see you later.
Mark said just to leave the keys inside on the kitchen island if he misses you, she called as she walked back to her house. He's got another set.
Thanks. Well, gang, let's go inside.
I like the lady with the baby in her belly. She has pretty hair.
Yeah, she does.
He opted to go in the front, like a guest, as that's what they were at this point. The floors gleamed, he couldn't deny it, and the gleam carried straight through from the front to the back, to the kitchen, to the wide patio doors that led to a very nice backyard.
It looks really big,
Bradley decided.
Well, it's open and it's empty.
It has a fireplace. We had a fireplace.
Mariah walked over to it.
So Santa knows where to come in.
But not brick. Tiled in a subtle white-on-white pattern. Gas, not wood-burning. A sleek mantle, not a chunky one.
It echoes!
Bradley shouted his own name to amuse himself. But no memories in those echoes. His son raced back, and Mariah followed. Not for the kitchen. White cabinets, stainless appliances, a stone-gray countertop, a deep farm sink. But for the view out those wide doors.
Man, the backyard's big! Jasper would like that.
No swings?
The shock reverberated in Mariah's voice.
How come?
Nobody lives here yet, dummy.
Bradley poked her.
Dad will get us swings and stuff.
You're the dummy.
She poked him back.
What's this room?
She ran back to double glass-paned doors off what would be the dining area.
Is it our playroom?
There's a bonus room, like a playroom area, upstairs.
Behind the doors would be, he had to admit, the perfect home office. Good light, a view of the yard, room for everything he needed.
I want to see. Could we go up?
We're here to see. Bedrooms are up there, too.
He hung back a minute as the kids raced back to clatter up the stairs. Powder room under those stairs, family room slash lounge area off the kitchen, the mudroom slash laundry room off the other end of the kitchen. New furnace, and a good storage area in the fully waterproofed, ready-to-finish basement. A good house, he reminded himself, with a price well within his means. He went up where the echoes carried the rushing feet, the voices of his children. Eyes shining, Mariah raced to meet him.
Which would be my room, Daddy? Can I pick?
Well, it's set up with what they call a Jack and Jill bath. This room.
With her hand clutching his, he led her into one of the four bedrooms.
And that bathroom opens to this room and the one on the other side. They're about the same size, so...
I can't share a bathroom like that with a boy! They smell!
Her horrified face made Raylan want to gobble her up like a pink parfait.
There's another bedroom across the hall, but this one's bigger, so...
He broke off as she ran off to see for herself.
It has a bathroom for its own self. Look! Look! No boy's allowed to use it. My own bathtub and everything. Can I have this room, please?
Bradley raced back.
The playroom is huge, and I got dibs on the bedroom with a fireplace and a big bathroom.
No dibs there. That's the master. You have to pay all the bills to get the master.
I can't pay bills.
Which means you get one of these two rooms if we buy the house, with a pretty big bathroom of your own since Mo's looking at the room over there.
Bradley wandered through, lips pursed, head nodding.
Okay, I guess. I want the one back there because it's more away from her.
Grinning, he turned. Then the grin faded when he looked at his father.
You don't like the house?
What? No, I mean, sure I like it.
Your face says you don't.
Mariah danced back in.
Can we paint my tub pink? What's the matter?
Dad doesn't like the house.
Why not? It's nice. It smells good.
They wanted it, he realized. They wanted this house, this fresh start. He just had to make it a home, to let go all the way and make a home.
You, weak-minded beings as you are, have been taken in by my great restraint,
Raylan told them.
I wanted you to have your say in it, and not to use the vast power of my superior mind to influence your puny little brains.
Dad!
The stress fell away as Bradley let out a snort.
Come on!
Can we have it?
Mariah hugged his legs with her face turned up to his.
Can we paint the tub pink in my very own bathroom?
Yes and no. You can get a pink shower curtain, pink towels, but no tub painting.
But Bradley can't ever, ever poop in my bathroom.
I've got my own bathroom, bigger than yours, and you can't poop there.
They assailed each other with poop insults. Raylan decided they'd already started making a home. With the deal struck, the paperwork and legal work underway, Raylan began counting down the days of pullouts and working in a corner or the kitchen counter. He had to start back to school shopping soon, which seemed impossible. But he was determined to put that nightmare off until the last possible moment. What he did have, despite his current working conditions, was a solid new storyline with a fascinating new character who would serve first as foe, always as foil, and eventually as friend to his angel. He could thank, and did, his mother and sister for helping keep the kids busy and entertained through the summer, and for keeping the kids overnight while he traveled up to his headquarters to round out that story, that character, with his partners. He'd spent his single night in Jonah's hot mess of a bachelor pad because he couldn't bring himself, not yet, to stay with Bick and Pats in his old house. But before he could go ahead with doing the real work on creating the novel, he had to clear it with the inspiration. If she gave him a thumbs down, he'd change up the physical appearance, but he didn't want to. Everything worked. He had some hope because he remembered the girl who'd recognized Iron Man from the sketch on his bedroom wall. Since he'd put it off long enough, and since the kids were hanging with Maya and Colin for the afternoon, he took his sketch pad and the dog to drive to the big house on the hill. He'd always loved the house, the way it sat so sturdy and timeless with that wraparound porch, the wonderful old growth of trees at its back and side, its gables adding just a touch of mystery.
"Jesus, Jasper, I'm an idiot. I can use it. Just goth it up some, and it's Flame's hideout. Darken the stone, bring the trees in closer, add a tower. Yeah, this would work."
Sketching it in his head, he walked to the front door, used the big bronze knocker. He changed it from a star to a gargoyle, a snarling one. When no one answered, he did as his sister had advised and walked around the house, adding details to his sketch as he circled to the lower-level patio doors. Since they stood open, he started to knock on the jamb, then just stood, hand lifted. He actually felt his mouth drop open and couldn't seem to close it again. She stood in the center of the room, facing a mirrored wall. She wore black, tiny shorts, a sports bra that crisscrossed with thin straps in the back. Her hair she'd pulled up and away into a top knot that spilled curls. And standing on one bare foot, she lifted her left leg until it pointed at the ceiling, and she stood in a single vertical line. It shouldn't have been anatomically possible. Then she lowered the leg only to draw it up behind her and, still balanced, grabbed her toe, flowed out the other arm as she leaned forward and as she drew the leg up to a fluid arch. By the time a few blood cells returned to his brain and he realized he'd entered Peeping Tom territory, he started to step back. But she turned her head, just an inch, and saw him. Rather than scream and call for her monster dog, she smiled, used her forward hand to gesture him in. He eased through the opening a little.
"Sorry, I didn't want to interrupt."
"Nearly done. I just needed a good stretch."
"Do you—"
He broke off as Jasper caught a scent, shoved through the door, and raced to his love, who'd sprawled in front of the fireplace.
"Jasper, damn it! Sorry."
"No problem."
Especially since Jasper simply collapsed in front of Sadie, who ignored him.
"Just have to do the other side. Were you looking for Poppy?"
No, actually."
He couldn't look away.
"How do you do that? How does anyone do that? Why don't you have joints?"
"I have them. They're well oiled. Flexibility is essential to fitness."
"That's not flexible. Even Gumby can't do that."
"Ballet, DNA, gymnastics, practice. How's your flexibility?"
"Not like that. But I'm from the planet Earth, which obviously you aren't. Which brings me to—"
"Touch your toes."
"What?"
"Can you touch your toes without bending your knees? Let's see."
He felt ridiculous, but still guilty from watching her, so he touched his toes.
"Good. There's potential. Do you work out?"
"Well—"
"Uh-huh," she said, as she put both feet on the floor.
"Two kids, work, buying a house, dealing with a dog, sleeping on a pullout."
"Busy."
She smiled when she said it.
"Aren't we all? Everyone's thrilled you bought the house on Mountain Laurel Lane."
Once you're settled in, I'll work out some routines for you. 30 minutes a day. Do you have weights?
No,
You'll get some. You need a little building up.
Annoyed, he gave her one long stare.
Okay.
That's not an insult. It's a professional observation. Cardio, core, strength and resistance training, flexibility. Everybody needs them. You have beautiful children.
Annoyance eased back a little.
I do. Thanks.
They're a blend of you and Loralee, who I liked very much. It's clear, from the few times I've seen them, you're a pretty terrific father.
They make it easier than I let on, for survival purposes.
Part of your job is to stay healthy for them.
He had to laugh a little.
I think that's playing dirty.
It really is, but also true. Anyway, I'll work up some basic routines for you. Now, what can I do for you at the moment?
Do you do that to everybody? Give them the health and fitness pitch?
Not everybody, because not everybody's ready to hear it. Maya's one of my best friends. I love Jan. They worry about you, and you know that, so I'm not telling any secrets here.
No, you're not.
He had to move away from that, so started to look around her studio.
You've got a serious but not intimidating place here. I'd have thought, look at that.
Adrian glanced over to see Jasper curled up against Sadie, his eyes closed.
I think that's a blissful smile on his face. She's giving him a chance.
You too, she said to Raylan. If she didn't approve of you, she'd be standing right here watching you.
May that continue. I have to ask your permission for something.
Oh, should we sit down for that?
Maybe.
Go ahead.
She gestured toward the sofa before going to fill two New Gen water bottles. She handed one to Raylan as she sat beside him.
This is now yours. It'll be useful for keeping hydrated when you work out.
Right. So anyway, I've been working on a new novel with a new character.
I love the debut of True Angel.
She threw him off again.
You read it?
Sure I did. Not only are you my good friend's brother, but I like graphic novels.
And that should
work in his favor.
This character will be a foil for Angel. First an enemy, then an ally. She's a demi-demon.
Like Grievous.
Initially bound to him, forced to work for him. She's solitary, tormented, in a struggle against her darker impulses, and to round it up, Angel will eventually help free her. She passes as a human, lives alone. She writes horror stories, or turns her experience and history over her 500-plus years into books.
Can't wait to read it, but I don't understand why you'd need my permission.
Okay, well.
He opened his sketchbook, offered it.
That's her.
That's me! That's me wearing hot stuff!
Yeah, you looked pretty hot.
That earned him another amused glance.
Thanks, but I meant that's the name of the design, because of the flames.
Right, yeah, well, you were wearing it when I came to look at the house for the first time. You had your back to me, and I just had this character jump into my head. Cobalt Flame.
Fascinated, she looked up from the sketch.
Is that how it works?
Sometimes. Not usually. Hardly ever.
Are there more drawings?
Even as she asked, Adrian turned the page.
Oh my God, she's riding a dragon! A dragon!
Yeah, dragon fire. Fire's her thing. The dragon's Vesta, Roman goddess of fire.
A girl dragon, even better. I look good. Strong. Fierce.
She kept turning pages.
Ooh, mean and violent. Oh, tormented. I love it.
Really? You're okay with this?
Are you kidding me? I'm a freaking half-demon superhero. Well, villain, then hero. Either one works. And I ride a dragon. She's got a spear.
If I keep that, it'll shoot flames.
A flame-throwing spear. It just gets better. Where does she live?
Here. I mean, a big old house like this, except spookier, darker, but I just figured this house would be the base for it.
Now Poppy's going to flip, his house immortalized and the home and hideout of a demi-demon.
So he'll be okay with it?
Okay with it? He's got the sketch you did of him tossing pizza dough framed in his office.
He does?
He admires your talent. Why wouldn't he? It struck him, as she continued to look through his sketches, how much that meant to him.
She could have a secret room, even if she doesn't need one, and a tower, maybe turrets.
Oh, like you need me to tell you what works.
What's her alter ego name?
Adriana Dark, and I already decided on the tower.
Perfect. Raylan, I'm so freaking flattered.
That's a relief, because I'm ready to start work on it, and I didn't want to change her look.
And now you can't, or you'd crush my fragile ego.
I don't think it's very fragile, but I'm not changing her look.
Can I see it sometime? In progress, I mean. Or are you temperamental about your art?
In Brooklyn, I worked in a converted warehouse. Everybody saw everything. I have to go, he said as he checked the time. I have to pick up the kids from Maya's.
When he took the sketchbook and rose, Adrian got to her feet with him.
Come back, will you, when Poppy's here? Bring the kids. He misses having kids around the house.
I'll do that. Let's go, Jasper.
Jasper opened his eyes, turned his head away.
Let's go, Romeo, or next time I come, I leave you behind.
Adrian said,
Sadie.
And the big dog got up, walked over, with Jasper right behind her.
Why don't we walk you out?
It would save me dragging him.
It didn't save him from having to pick Jasper up bodily to get him into the car, where Jasper howled like the grievously wounded.
Girls don't like whiners, pal. Suck it up.
He gave a wave, drove away. He glanced in the rear view, saw Adrian in her very tiny black outfit, a hand on the enormous dog, and felt a low tug he hadn't felt in a very long time. Recognizing lust, he ignored it. Not ready for that, he told himself. And not with one of his sister's oldest friends, if he ever got ready for that again. Chapter 13. A new poem arrived on a sizzling August day, with a sky the color of old plaster. This one carried a postmark from Wichita. She read it, the third of the year, in her car in the grocery store parking lot. When you are a rage in my mind, a fury in my heart, why have I tarried so long and kept us apart? So delicious I find the wait, your blood to spill. I alone choose the time to kill. It twisted her. It always did. She sat another minute waiting for some calm, listening to a weary voice outside the car tell a whiny one they'd get ice cream later. She followed her own protocol, slid the poem into the envelope into her purse. She'd make copies when she got home, send them as usual to the police, the federal agent, to Harry. Nothing would come of it, of course. Nothing ever did. And now the number had increased again. From one for so many years to two, and now three. She knew the FBI would keep the file, just as she knew they largely dismissed any real risk. Vaguely threatening poems, a few lines, and never any overt or actual threat or action. An obsession, yes, but a cowardly one that inflicted mental and emotional distress, and no attempt at physical harm. She knew what they thought, the agents, the cops. She was a public figure, had chosen to be. That choice came with a price. She knew what her mother would say, had said. File it, forget it. Adrian got a cart, wheeled it into the overly chilled air of the supermarket. She called up the shopping list app on her phone, got started, and reminded herself to give a hat tip to gratitude because her grandfather hadn't insisted on coming with her. When he did, the process took twice as long. Food, after all, was his passion, and people came in a close second. So he'd talk to everyone, examine every peach with great care,
see some vegetable that would inspire another dish, which equaled adding more to the list to fulfill that. When they hit the weekly farmer's market, it turned inevitably into a marathon of food studying, food discussions, and socializing. As she gathered produce, with care but not intensity, she had to smile a little. It took much longer to shop with him, but he was always entertaining. She checked items off her list in dairy, moved on. By the time she got to the cereal aisle, her grandfather did love his Wheaties, she was on a roll, and heard the aggrieved male voice.
"Come on, man, we agreed on Cheerios."
"But these are magically delicious."
She saw Bradley clutching a cereal box while his sister executed a very fine pirouette across the aisle, and Raylan looked like a man under siege.
"Magic and delicious are both good,"
Bradley insisted.
"Don't you want us to have good cereal?"
"Will he stick or will he cave?" Adrian wondered as she rolled up to him. "Hello, adorables."
"We had a deal."
Obviously hoping for backup, he appealed to Adrian.
"The deal was Cheerios."
"We could mix the magically delicious with the Cheerios. You say we're supposed to compromise."
Bradley turned to Adrian.
"He always says we're supposed to compromise."
"You're a very bright light, aren't you?" She reached around for Dom's Wheaties.
"You got whole bunches of stuff. You must eat a lot."
Raylan smiled thinly.
"Bright light, you say?"
"I do, and I do have bunches of stuff because we're going to have a house full of people for a few days."
"We had a house full of people because I had my birthday. I'm 8 now. I had a Batman cake."
"I've always thought the Dark Knight's magically delicious." That got a grin before Mariah claimed her turn.
"I'm going to be 6 next month, and I'm having a ballerina cake. Or a princess cake. I have to decide."
"Why not both? A ballerina princess." Her eyes, green like her father's, lit up.
"I want that. Daddy, I want a ballerina princess cake."
"So noted."
"I like your sandals."
Adrian smiled. "Thanks, I like yours too, and I love your pedicure. Such a pretty pink."
"Daddy painted my toes. You have a French manicure, pedi. It looks really good with your skin tone."
"Thank you very much." "She's going to be 6? Adrian asked Raylan.
"Chronologically. In fashion years, about 35. I heard you've got a crew coming in to do a new DVD.
"And a lot of the crew are friends who will be house guests and eat whole bunches of stuff. My grandfather's already in heaven." She saw Bradley quietly, gently ease the magically delicious cereal box into the cart. Remembering how Mimi had once snuck her cookies, she smiled. "How's everybody liking the new house?"
"I have pink towels in my bathroom. Bradley has a red. And we have a playset in the backyard, but we are not getting a pool, so we can forget that. Do you think I'm old enough to wear lipstick?"
"You mean you're not?" Adrian said, even crouched down a little for a closer look. "I would have sworn you were because your lips are so pretty and perfect and pink."
"Really?"
"Oh my, yes. You're so lucky to have that wonderful natural color in them."
"Impressive,"
Raylan murmured as she straightened. "I've got to get moving. Nice to see you. Give my best and Sadie's to Jasper."
"Come by sometime,"
Raylan heard himself say.
"Jasper pines for her."
"And you can see my room. I have new curtains and everything."
"I'd like that. See you later." As she rolled away, as Raylan watched her, he said,
"I saw the move with the cereal, Bradley. But in the spirit of compromise, we'll go with it."
"How did you see?"
"Because."
Raylan turned around, drew a Darth Vader breath.
"Bradley, I am your father."
At home, Adrian put the groceries away, let Sadie out, made the copies of the poem. Since Harry and his family would arrive the next afternoon, she'd just hand him his copy. She considered going down to her studio to rehearse, then went upstairs instead to check, unnecessarily, on the bedrooms. She'd run into town for fresh flowers in the morning, but for now, everything looked just right. The room Harry and Marshall would share, the ones for their two kids, Hector's room, solo as his live-in lady of the past year and a half couldn't make the trip this time, and Lauren's. She checked the bathrooms, equally unnecessary, but it gave her something to do, something to help keep her mind off the damn poems. Like her grandfather, she looked forward to having the house full of people. Nothing could take her mind off worry easier than friends and work. Or a good sweaty workout, she thought, and started to turn into her own room to change when she heard the front door open. She went to the top of the step.
Poppy, you're back early.
They've got everything under control, and I wanted to talk to you about a couple things.
I got the ribs, I got the chicken, she began as she started down. Everything you wanted for the summer trifle.
Not that.
When she reached him, he held out his car keys.
I'm turning these in. I nearly went through the stop sign on Woodbine, and it's not the first time.
Poppy. She took the keys, then wrapped him in a hug. I know this is hard. I'll be your chauffeur anytime, anywhere, I promise.
I've got more than half a dozen people willing to haul my ancient butt around. You can be one of them, starting now.
She tipped her head back.
Where do you want to go?
Something I want to show you, talk to you about.
Mystery.
Where's our girl?
She's out back.
Let's get her. Take her for a ride.
They took Adrian's car, since Dom's for the last several years had been a compact pickup she knew he loved. Because she knew he didn't like the AC, she opened windows. Sadie happily stuck her head out the one in the back.
Go on into town. Turn right on Main.
Gotcha. I ran into Raylan and his kids at the grocery.
Those are good kids.
They are.
She entertained him with cereal wars and makeup debates on the drive-in.
Monroe brought that pistol of a boy of his in for pizza right before I left. Said they were having a man day and giving Tisha a break. You want to turn left at the light, and right there,
he gestured,
pull up right over there.
The old schoolhouse.
Old elementary. So old, I went there. They still used the paddle back in those days.
Ouch.
With a grin, he nudged up his glasses.
So I said more times than I care to remember.
The old, scarred brick with its loose mortar formed a squat square. What had once been a playground had become pitted asphalt and weeds blocked off by an old chain-link fence. A few of the windows, broken over time by weather or a well-aimed rock, sported plywood boards. Gutters, what was left of them, sprouted more weeds.
Tried a few things with it over the years,
Dom said.
It was an antiques shop for a while, but that just turned into a dusty old flea market. I recall it being a repair shop once, lawnmowers and the like. Nothing stuck.
It's pretty easy to see why. It's a mess.
Been let go, that's why. Man who owns it had big dreams, sly ways, and not enough money for either. He was going to open it as a bar. Now he's just getting fined for a safety hazard and there's talk of condemning it.
Well.
Can't have that, Adrian.
That jaw set solid as Dom shook his head.
Can't have it. That building's 100 years old. It has history. It needs to have purpose again.
She understood sentiment. She understood history. But
you want to buy it?
I want your say-so in this because I'd be pulling from your inheritance.
Poppy, don't be silly.
And not only that, when I join your grandmother, this would be your responsibility.
What would? What are you thinking?
Let's have a look. I've got the keys.
Of course you do.
She muttered. She intended to leave Sadie in the car, but Dom was already opening the door.
Come on, girl. We're going to explore.
Is it safe? It doesn't really look safe.
Safe enough for a look-see.
In his khaki shorts and navy golf shirt, He led the way across the sidewalk, up crumbling concrete steps to the double front doors.
"You've got to use your imagination," he told her as he fished out the keys.
"I bet." It smelled. Her first impression was it smelled of spiderwebs, dust, muck, disuse, and the mice and potentially rats who'd used it as a toilet. But Dom's face shined.
"You feel that?"
"I might feel something crawling up my leg." He put an arm around her shoulders.
"Kids. All those memories of kids walking through here. Now there's not much left of the original woodwork, and that's a damn shame. But the asshole who owns it gutted the place right out without a thought for that. Foundation's still sound," he continued as he walked on. "Roof's not, but we'd raise that, add a second story."
"Would we?" She saw ancient plaster walls, yellow with age, a chipped vinyl floor where someone had tried to pull it up. Dom pointed down.
"There's hardwood under there, and I'm betting it can be sanded down and polished again. Needs all new plumbing and the electric brought up to code from the old knob and tube. Need to clean up the exterior brick, repoint. Outside, you've got to clear up, clean up, new asphalt, and it needs a handicapped accessible ramp."
He turned to her to see what she thought. But all she saw was a big, ugly, smelly space with broken and dingy windows.
"I had Mark Wicker. He's a damn good contractor. Take a look. He figures it'll take most of a year and about $1 million.
"Dollars? $1 million? Poppy, I think you need to lie down. I think I do, too."
"Maybe, but hear me out first. The selling price is, or was, way over the moon. I countered. He came back. I walked away because he needs to sell and he's living in some greedy dream world. He came more down to earth today, so I said I'd talk to my partner and let him know."
"I'm your partner?"
"You're my everything."
Damn it. He wanted it, whatever it was, so much. "Let's go outside because I don't want to think what we're breathing in right now. And you can tell me what you want to do for $1 million. God, that takes my breath away. $1 million. He walked out with her, locked up again, then taking her hand, walked around to the sagging fence.
"Skinned my knees there more than once. Played tag and ball and keep away."
She leaned against him.
"Not so many people in town back then, not so many kids. And a lot of them living out on farms. It's different now. The town's grown. It's a good town. You know what it doesn't have, Adrian?"
"What?"
"A place for those kids. Somewhere to go after school during the summer. A place they can play ball or ping pong, their video games, maybe even study or just hang out in a safe place. A lot of working parents, a lot of latchkey kids. That's how it is."
"You want to build a youth center?"
"Maybe we'd have some classes, like learning music or art, activities, some structure."
He smiled down at her.
"Healthy snacks."
"Now you're pandering."
"Just a little. After school care, some exercise classes."
"More pandering," she said, but put her arm around his waist.
"Sophia and I talked about this place more than once, but we didn't have a way to get our hands on it until now. It may be out of reach still, but..."
"Nothing's out of reach if you keep trying for it. It's a little terrifying, I'm not going to lie. But if I squint and toss away all my common sense, I can almost see it." And he wanted it. Nothing else mattered. She stepped back, held out a hand. "Let's go for it, partner." He took her hand, squeezed it.
"Gioia mia. You make me proud."
There was little Dom loved more than cooking for a crowd, unless it was having the sound and motion of kids in his house. With Adrian's friends, he got both. He marinated pounds of fat pork ribs in a tangy sauce he made himself, roasted summer vegetables from his own garden, made a cold pasta, colorful as a carnival with fat olives, grape tomatoes, and thin strips of zucchini. Baked focaccia bread. He polished it off with a cake filled with rich cream and strawberries. The groans of the well-fed, the chatter of children, the sheer mess generated by a complicated meal perfectly prepared brought him profound joy. He loved seeing Adrian with friends she'd made in high school, and seeing Harry, who'd almost been a father to his girl, with the family he'd made. Generations at the table made a family, made a home. Over cappuccino and cake, he appealed to Hunter, Harry's oldest.
Tell me what you want, especially in a youth center.
Swimming pool.
Hunter, with his dark gypsy eyes, shoveled in cake.
The dads say.
He held his thumb up, then turned it down.
Horseback riding and a stable.
Hunter's younger sister, Sybil, dug out more cream filling.
And how about you, Phineas?
A planetarium.
Dom nodded soberly, then looked at Adrian.
We're going to need a bigger building.
I'll say. How about games? Table games, video games, a basketball court, arts and crafts, music lessons? I'm looking at you there, Monroe.
Hunter wagged his fork at him.
Can you play the guitar?
I can. You like the guitar?
Yeah, so if I get one for Christmas, can you show me stuff when we visit?
Sure. Maybe you can come by my house tomorrow for a while and I'll show you some stuff.
For real? Cool!
Your Harry dad has to work here tomorrow.
Phineas eyed Harry as he might an experiment.
So your Marshall dad can bring you. You can come too,
he said graciously to Sybil.
I'm getting a telescope for Christmas.
Are you?
Monroe asked over his cappuccino.
Yeah, because I'm going to be an astronomer astronaut and discover life on another planet. 'Cause it's there.
He doesn't get that from me,
Monroe told his wife.
He just doesn't.
Well, mathematically and logically, he's right. It's there. Now Monroe wagged his fork at Tisha.
See? Dom, Adrian, this was an incredible meal. I'm volunteering the rest of us for KP. I'll sign up for that. In fact, if I don't move, I may root to this chair.
Hector, with his horn rims and stubby ponytail, rose.
I always think Sylvie and I are halfway decent cooks until I have a meal here. We don't come close. Sorry she couldn't make it.
Lauren levered himself up to help gather plates. He'd tamed his fiery hair into a brush cut and, to Adrian's mind, managed to look like a lawyer even in jeans and a t-shirt.
So's she, but she's pretty busy packing up since we're moving to New York.
Despite the baby bump, Tisha came straight up out of her chair.
What?
Yeah, I thought I'd save that one.
He grinned, shrugged.
She got a great offer, so I put out some feelers of my own. It's back to New York, which makes my dad pretty happy, especially since I asked Sylvie to marry me.
Lauren punched him in the arm.
And you don't tell us?
Telling you. I figured I'd catch a ride with you to look at a couple places. Fly back from there.
Road trip!
Adrian rose to hug him.
This is great news. We need to break out the champagne.
Dishes first, for sure.
Harry waited until they'd finished the dishes, and while his kids ran off the cake with Marshall supervising. He grabbed Adrian's hand.
How about we take a walk?
Sure, I was just going to go down and check on the setup for tomorrow.
Hector's got that.
He tugged her toward the front of the house.
Is something wrong? Is everything all right with you? With Mom?
I'm fine, she's fine. She'll head back to New York in a couple of days. And she'll want to talk to you about another mother-daughter production. Probably over the winter.
It'll have to be here. I don't want to leave Poppy. Plus, she should come see him.
He stepped out with her onto the front porch.
Hell of a view. Even this confirmed urbanite can appreciate it. Dom's revved about this youth center project.
Boy, is he. We'll jump into that once this production's underway. We signed the contract after Tisha pushed the seller down another $12,000.
She's a wonder.
She is. She studied him as they walked, slim and trim and handsome as ever, maybe more so with the hint of silver threading through his hair. What's this really about, Harry?
It's about me wondering why you haven't told Dom and the others about the latest poem.
Who says I haven't?
I do, Ads, because I know you. We'll walk and appreciate the last of this long summer day while you tell me why.
I didn't see the point, Harry, and I still don't, especially with Poppy. It's like you said, he's revved right now. Why would I tell him something upsetting he can't do a thing about? He's 94, Harry.
And the others?
She hissed out one long, impatient breath. I'm lucky to see Hector and Lauren in person twice a year, and what could they do about it? Tisha's pregnant, so again, why? It's been going on for years.
It's escalating. You and I know that.
And I dutifully file the reports. Yes, it's escalating, and that worries me. It's upsetting and nerve-wracking, which must be what this person wants. But there haven't been any strange phone calls, no vandalism or attempted break-ins. Nothing more personal than nasty poetry.
Already 3 this year. I know you've got an alarm system and you've got an enormous dog, but you're still pretty isolated here, Adrian. I think it may be time for you to consider personal protection. Truly stunned, she stopped short.
You want me to get a gun?
Equally stunned, he stopped short right along with her. No, God, no. Too much to go way, way wrong there. But you could get a bodyguard.
She laughed. Come on, Harry.
I'm serious. Lena has security at her events, and she hasn't had this kind of continual threat. It's common sense.
I'm not doing outside events, she reminded him, because, as I said, Poppy's 94. And since I made that decision, I've learned how much I like working from home, how much I can get done, how many people I can reach.
Understood, but security here, human security, experienced security, would add another layer.
And skew my privacy and Poppy's. The police are like 5 minutes away. Whoever's doing this has had years to do something more threatening or violent. It's emotional stalking.
And stalkers often act on their obsession.
He sure as hell wasn't making her feel any better, she thought.
Then again, he didn't want to.
I'm not dismissing any of that. I can't. But if we consider worst case, someone tries to hurt me, I'm strong, I'm agile, I'm fast. I'm not helpless, Harry.
You never have been.
I hate that you're so worried, but the fact you are just cements my decision not to say anything to Poppy. I'll take a self-defense course.
Harry rolled his eyes. Where?
Online. You can learn anything online if you're committed. I'll commit. It's another layer.
All right, okay. I knew this wouldn't fly, but I had to give it a shot.
I love you for it, but then I love you anyway. I'll research the classes, pick one next week. And being the goal-oriented competitor I am, I'll graduate at the top of the class.
Wouldn't surprise me.
And you know what? When I learn enough, it might make a good video for the blog, or even a segment.
And there, he said as they walked back toward the house, is where you take after Lena.
Though it irritated her, she shrugged. Maybe. A little.
She's a self-made woman, Adrian, and so are you. One of the reasons is when either of you see an obstacle, you figure out the way not to shove it away so much as work it to your advantage.
Sometimes I wonder if that's what I was. An obstacle.
No.
He put an arm around her shoulders.
You were never that to her, believe me. You were a choice.
Maybe, she thought again. But she'd never figured out why her mother had made that choice. Chapter 14. She actually sent him a personalized fitness video. Raylan found it short, surprising, and not so sweet. He supposed he should feel... what, exactly? That she'd taken the time to put together a month-long regimen. 7 days a week. Really? For 4 weeks. Warm-ups and cool-downs required. Every damn day. He watched the first segment on his laptop, standing in his kitchen while the frozen chicken fingers and tater tots baked. He'd had a long day. Plus, he'd steamed some broccoli to make up for it. And the kids ran around the backyard with the dog. Maniacs all. Cardio, day one. She demonstrated a high knee jog in place, instructed him to do that for 30 seconds before moving straight into jumping jacks, front lunges, back lunges, squats, burpees, and so on. Then she, without even breathing hard, told him to repeat all that twice before a 30-second water break, then moving on to football shuffles, standing mountain climbers, and other tortures for a 30-minute sweat fest. Repeat once a week, where she assured him he'd progress to 40-second intervals by the end of the fourth. He also had the option, highly recommended, to add in the 10-minute core routine every day.
Sure, why not? I've got nothing but time.
He let it play while he got out the broccoli, and she moved into strength training, day two. Amazing to him, he thought as he chopped, how soothing her voice sounded while she pushed the innocent into bicep curls, hammer curls with shoulder presses, chest flies, rows, something called skull crushers. Maybe he found it fascinating to watch her muscles work, and he'd use that for his art. But he didn't have any dumbbells. He'd been busy. Day three equaled core, and that just looked painful. Despite the soothing voice, the fascinating muscles, he shut her off. He put the broccoli on to steam, got out plates, belatedly remembered the laundry he'd tossed in that morning before they'd left for the last of the marathon back-to-school shopping. He made the transfer from washer to dryer and wondered why he hadn't just ordered pizza, then remembered he'd done just that the night before after that leg of the marathon. But the kids had their new shoes and fall clothes, their new backpacks and lunch sacks, their binders and folders and new pencils with their pristine erasers. Their every damn thing and more. And with the enthusiasm of new, fresh starts, they helped him organize everything. So now those backpacks, sans the lunch sacks he'd fill in the morning, hung on the hooks in the mudroom. Just in time, he thought, as the big yellow bus would arrive at 7:20 a.m. for the first day of school. Was he a crap father for harboring relief and joy over that moment? No, he was not, he assured himself. He was realistic. The idea of hours of empty house, of quiet without interruptions? Bliss. Single tear sliding down the face, bliss. He checked on dinner, judged it about 5 minutes out, so went to the door to call the kids. Then just stood, watching them. Mariah used her dance moves against Bradley's ninja warrior while Jasper raced around with a yellow tennis ball in his mouth. Grass stains streaked the seat of Mariah's petal pink shorts. The laces of Bradley's old Converse chucks fell loose again and showed gray with grime. He loved them so much it hurt. He opened the door to the smothering heat and humidity that had both his kids glossy with sweat. He started to call them in, like the civilized, then went with impulse. He got the backyard hose, turned the spray on full, and soaked them. They squealed, danced, ran away and back again.
Dad!
Mariah screeched it as she tried to outrun the stream, but her face, like Bradley's, shined with delight.
Down with all backyard invaders. My powerful hose defeats you.
Never!
Bradley charged, made exaggerated swimming motions as the stream hit him in the gut. Appreciating the creativity, and when Mariah joined him in the attack, the teamwork, Raylan let them take him down. The hose plopped in the grass with Jasper happily.